Blog Talk Radio.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Is the best government really the one that governs the least? Can we ever have a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution? If the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, why is the government all over us? Tonight, whatever happened to freedom? Understanding where we go from here should start with understanding how we got here. We are the free and independent people of the United States of America. We are free because those who preceded us fought a war against a person who was then the world's grandest king and who presided over what was then the world's grandest empire. The founding fathers risked, as they like to tell us, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the freedom and independence they won and we have inherited. But they were not saints, and initially their cause was not popular. From the records available today, the people who measure historical trends have concluded that in 1776, only about one-third of Americans supported the revolution, about one-third of Americans opposed it, and about one-third of them didn't care. When I first looked at these numbers, I thought, in 1776, this was the grandest fight for the greatest amount of freedom for the most people at any point in history. So who could possibly oppose it? And who in their right mind could not care? Fast forward to today and ask, who could possibly support a government that regulates everything from the strength of the water pressure in your shower to the size of the toilet bowl in your home to the thickness of the leather in your shoes? Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key? Perhaps the colonists who didn't care if they freely chose their government or were cared for by a benevolent tyrant had an odd way of knowing what was coming. Perhaps those who opposed the revolution were afraid to take on the king, to challenge authority, and to risk their comfortable lives for the unknown. Well, we all know what happened. A relatively small part of the population pushed the culture and society toward freedom. And the freedoms that they chose were pure. I mean, after we won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, the new government and the political class assured all Americans that they could think as they wished and say what they thought and publish what they said, that they could associate or not associate with anyone. They could worship as they chose or choose not to worship. They could defend themselves with guns even against tyrants. That troops would never enter their homes, that only neutral judges would issue search warrants, and that the government could not take their lives, their freedom, or their property without a trial at which their fault would be proven in front of a neutral jury. All this was guaranteed to the first generation of Americans and to their posterity, that would be us, because much of it had been denied them by the king and the parliament, and because Americans came to believe, even the one-third that were afraid and the one-third that didn't care, that these rights are ours by virtue of our humanity. Whether you believe that we are the highest order of natural selection, or whether you believe, as I do, that we were created by God in His image and likeness, you know in your heart that these natural yearnings, as St. Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Jefferson called them, are our natural rights, are a part of our humanity, and cannot long be denied us. And yet, they have been denied. The same founding fathers who wrote that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, in fact, enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts, which punished speech that was critical of them, critical of the government. This happened because people were afraid to challenge the tyranny of the majority. America, the greatest losses to our freedom have come not from someone attacking us, but from the government ignoring the Constitution and the majority letting them get away with it. The worst amendments to the Constitution were not those ratified by the states, but rather were amendments by consensus, where all three branches of government agreed to look the other way. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. So what shall we do? We should challenge authority, no matter who is in charge. We should challenge the majority whenever it curtails anybody's freedom. We should side with freedom no matter what the government says. We should vote out of office those who push the government outside the Constitution, no matter what earmarks they just brought home. And we should make the government afraid of us. Afraid of us. Because as Jefferson reminded us, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. From New York, defending freedom, everybody's freedom, whenever I can. So long, America.
Friends, cultural creatives, and imaginal cells everywhere, Bruce back. And this month's newsletter, I really want to focus on something called an urban myth. And this particular urban myth is the belief that we only operate off of 10% of our brain. So we've all heard that, yes, we're only using 10% of our brain, and boy, if we could use all the rest of it, we'd be super smart. But hey, that's all we use. Firstly, where did that number come from, 10%? A long time ago, when putting the body together through an understanding of histology and the cells that make up organs, a study of the brain revealed one very important fact, and that is only 10% of the brain was made up of neurons. 90% of the cells in the brain were not neurons, but they were called supporting or connective tissue and given the name glial cells. Well, what's really interesting about that is in the neuron principle, the neuron doctrine, it was believed that the neurons were the functional cells of the brain, and the glial cells were more or less just support. Well, then by definition, right away, it says then you're only using 10% of your brain because that's all that the neurons comprise in the brain, 10%. For a long time, the glial cells, again, were thought to be just like connective tissue support physically and nutritionally the neurons. But over the last number of decades, what we started to find is this. There was a misunderstanding about glial cells, that glial cells are a lot more important in neural function than just physical support. Glial cells can inhibit or activate neurons. Glial cells connect to neurons. Glial cells can control the activity of neurons. So all of a sudden, these glial cells, which were looked at as just passive cells in the brain, turn out to be actually quite functional in integrating the nature of how the brain works. In a way of looking at it, in a simple analogy, consider that the neurons are nouns in a sentence, and that the glial cells are the verbs and the adjectives and the adverbs, the modifiers of all the nouns. So the glial cells create a fulfillment of a picture. So neurons are like a stick figure, and when you add the glial cells, you fill out the nature of the whole human. So glial cells become a very functional, integrated part of all neuronal activity. So the concept of the neuron doctrine that said only neurons are involved with functioning in the nervous system, it turns out the glial cells are as well. So now we're not dealing with 10% of the brain, we're dealing with 100% of the brain. Yes, you have access to 100% of your brain all of the time. But does that mean that we actually use the whole brain all of the time? And the answer is no. Because what we start to find out is when we start to live in patterns and in habits, that what happens is we just activate certain neuronal pathways that are habitual pathways. And as a result, these are the pathways that have preference in our everyday life. But if you can engage whole brain activity, you can enhance your consciousness and your awareness and your ability to control your life. So basically it says that we can become whole brain when we start to think holistically instead of just playing recurrent programs that play over and over again and activate the same pathways. So the relevance is that once we start to engage in whole brain activity, we enhance our ability as humans on this planet. And now we're beginning to find out there are many different ways to engage and activate the whole brain. Some of them involve simple exercises such as something called Brain Gym. And Brain Gym is a very interesting exercise of the body and the nervous system integration in this way. My right hand is controlled by my left hemisphere. My left hand is controlled by my right hemisphere. But here's an interesting story. If my right hand, controlled by my left hemisphere, crosses the midline, then it simultaneously gets picked up by the other hemisphere because now it's in that territory as well. So when you cross your arms and when you cross your legs, what you're doing is causing the right and the left hemispheres to work together in harmony. When we are activating brain synchronization, where right and left hemispheres are engaged together simultaneously, it activates something like super learning. With both hemispheres working together, we have much more superior characteristics of neural function. However, after age 7 and 8, we start to express what is called brain dominance, meaning during the day, we don't have synchronization of both hemispheres. During the day, it's like a wave form. Sometimes we're more in the left hemisphere, sometimes we're more in the right, then it comes back to the left and back to the right, so that we're cycling through one hemisphere at a time. This is called brain dominance, where one hemisphere is dominant over the other hemisphere. Well, the relevance about that is integrating our lives is very difficult in brain dominance for a simple reason. As been suggested, our left hemisphere is based on logic and details. Our right hemisphere is actually associated with emotions and wholeness. And this becomes very important because if you're only looking with your left hemisphere, then all the logic things make sense, but there's no emotional component to it. And reverse, if you're in the right hemisphere, you get emotionally tied up, but the logic drops out. Well, this happens to us ever since the time we were 8 through our adult life. If you can get both hemispheres to be in sync, hemisync, then you're engaging logic and emotions at the same time. That opens up a window for super learning opportunities where you can download information very, very quickly and very fast, but it also opens up a whole wide range of thinking that includes an emotional component as well as an intellectual component, which is necessary to fulfill a whole picture. So if you're operating from brain dominance, you're actually shutting off one component of your nervous system at that time. So if you do an exercise like brain gym, where you're involved with crossing your arms and your legs, when you do that, you start to integrate both. Very interestingly, when we have hemisync, we're much more calm, collected, and able to really express neurological functions that are very fully supporting of ourselves. And this is why it's very interesting when you go home and relax at night, sometimes you find yourself with your ankles crossed over each other just sitting in your chair. Without even knowing what you're doing, by crossing your ankles, you're actually engaging a whole brain process. So if you're stressed, for example, during the day, or you just want to relax when you go home at night, crossing your arms and legs actually engages both hemispheres, which calms the system down, but engages a whole brain process. So you become much more effective in your relaxed state. So if you're having a tough moment during the day, just take a moment and cross your arms and legs, hold them together, and just wait for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you'll start to feel a calmness overcome. And in this calmness, your neurological functions will be totally enhanced. When we start to operate from patterns that are replayed every day, we start to express very specific pathways that are reused over and over and over again. And as a result, we actually shut down a large amount of functioning of the brain and just go through the habit, the patterns that replay themselves over and over again. So basically, what you really have to understand is this: we can use 100% of the brain, but if we play the same patterns over and over again, we don't need to use 100% of the brain. So, simple point, I'd just like to suggest that once you start to recognize that you can have hemisync, where you can get right and left hemispheres to engage together and stay conscious, you are using 100% of your brain activity. And when you do that, you'll also find that your life is easier, more harmonious, and healthier. Because when you're using your full nervous system, it will support your life and enhance your growth. And this becomes important. So don't get stuck that I'm only using 10% of my brain. That story is false. You can use 100%. And it's available to us. And basically, all you have to understand is this: stay conscious, stay mindful, and stop playing the same patterns over and over again, because that opens up an opportunity to create new behavior when you stop playing the programs.
I wish I had a modicum of athletic ability. I would have been an All-American fucking Olympian. Oh, fuck. Because nobody would work harder at it. They used to say, now just imagine you're growing up, and I reminded my two buddies of this, they had forgotten. Coach Roy J., the football coach at high school, said, you're so fucking slow, Pina, you should wear the other team's jersey. Now just think that through. You're so fucking inept, you should be wearing their jersey and playing for them. I just come back and hit that fucking line again. I didn't care. They used to stand me in the corner with a dunce cap. They said I was retarded. And if I looked around too many times, then they put me in the fucking closet. They had to take the dunce cap off because the dunce cap was too high to get me in the closet. And I would be in there 4, 5, 6 hours till school was over. Piss my pants, shit my pants, because they wouldn't let me out. Just imagine today. I had to school the L.A. School District when I was in the Army. Pina, you're the sorry excuse of wet back Mexican guy. Then when I became an officer, you're the sorry excuse wet back officer. All my life. But I've never thought of it as being brutalized. I never thought of it that way.
And you're glad that happened.
Fucking right I am. Otherwise, I'd be like these snowflake cunts. I can eat the heads off of 10 at a time. Literally. When that kid in Toronto says, what do you do with a cricket bat? I go, motherfucker. Come here, you little. And you know who invited me to University of Toronto? Black Tie. The black and women groups invite me. Those are who invite me.
Why?
Black ties. Do I look black?
Aren't you 8% black?
Yeah, 6.6% black with my brothers. You know. Yeah.
So why do they invite you?
Because they think, they know that because I was a minority. I am a minority. Just I wasn't raised in a minority, and I wouldn't allow myself to be go through the same deprivation as other minorities. And maybe I was fighting back against that. I don't know. But surely I got fought back.
So you admit some of the product of you is from fighting back against that.
Yeah, yeah. But when they called me a retard and I was this and I was that, even when I became an officer and a gentleman, United States Congress, and going through the training process, they didn't treat you so well. Then once I became an officer and I'm at the office with a couple of generals, and of course that's when I found out $1 million was. Thank God for that guy inheriting that money.
But you understand why it offends people so much.
Oh, yeah, sure I do.
And why does it offend
much? No, but what I tell my kids, although I don't, to the rest of my knowledge, our three children haven't been discriminated against, I don't believe, other than being rich, which they do discriminate kids against you. My kids were embarrassed to come to school in a limo. The limo had to park 6-8 blocks away. And then I asked the driver, Jimmy, what? Oh, the children wouldn't let me take them to school. We dropped them off. Well, how do you know they got to school, Jimmy? I watched them, boss. I watched them because I know you'd kill me if something happened to them. I watched them, boss. So it's not what happens to us in life. It's how we interpret what happens to us in life. Freud said that, and the guy before Freud, his name escapes me. It's how we're trained emotionally to cope with information that we don't like. And I was always unknowingly trained. It's, you can't hurt, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. That's what the saying was when I was maybe 1 to 15. And so I just, shine it on. And I said, if you want to make something of it, we'll step out and then we'll see who's right and who's wrong. That's how we used to settle who's right and who's wrong. The guy that's standing over the guy that's on the ground. And a lot of times I got the shit kicked out of me. There's a guy who probably won't watch this, Howard Stein and Walt Wojak, who were really tough. A lot tougher than I was. And I was bigger than he was, but he's like my baby brother or my big brother, because whenever I get the shit kicked out of me, he'd go looking for him. And he says, what are you, his brother? He says, close enough. He was Jewish, Stein. He's close enough. So now I'm going to give you a beat down for you beating up Dan.
So all this stuff prepared you for who you are.
Correct.
And you think we're missing it in today's culture?
I don't think. I know we're missing it.
Do the rich people cringe and say, don't tell them that, Robert?
Yes, yes, yes. Don't tell people what you know.
Right.
Keep them poor. The moment I pay you, you think like an employee. The moment you accept a paycheck, your brain goes dead. That's the trap. entrepreneurs work for free. As long as you're hungry, you'll think. The school system is designed to teach you to be an employee or a doctor or a lawyer, a specialist, but never about money. The poor will always be amongst us, because it starts up here. It's in their words, you know, and the words become flesh. But when they say, I can't afford it or I can't do that, they go down. They become what they say. And I meet so many people, I can't afford it. You think I'm made of money? My PhD daddy says, what do you think I am, made of money? I can't afford that. And my rich dad would say, that's why he's poor. Poor people say, I can't afford it, I can't do that, I don't have time. Because this is an escape. It's an escape, you know what I mean? It's easy to say, I can't afford it. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I can't go to the gym. You know, when you could go to the gym. No, I can't. Truth is, I'm just too lazy to go to the gym.
And your rich dad used to say what instead of, I can't afford it?
How can I afford it? How can I do that? A question opens a mind, a statement closes the mind. So when you say, I can't afford it, your mind shuts down and you become what you say. People right now who are sitting at home, who are struggling financially or worried about money or unhappy, they may be making a lot of money, but unhappy with what they're doing. It was probably taught to you. You know, your super ego was taught, get a job, work hard, or you'll never be rich, or the rich are evil, or whatever. Poverty is passed on. It's taught in your families. And middle class is taught in families.
And until you change your mindset,
correct,
money won't help you, right?
Correct.
And we see that with people that win the lottery, people that make more money, they still have the same problem.
Right.
Because they have that poor man's soul.
Correct. If you're poor, you'll always be poor.
That's really hard for people to understand.
Yeah, the money will disappear that fast. Just like most pro athletes, you know, they make millions of dollars and what, 65% are bankrupt 5 years later? It's because they come from poor families. But unfortunately, what Mr. Lipton was saying, it's passed down genetically. That's the frightening thing. If you don't want to learn it, I can't help you. You know, I have bad luck too. I've had financial crashes. I've had people stab me in the back. But they're all good because I grow from it. That's spirituality. You know, people who are afraid of making mistakes, like they teach in school, they don't ever grow. Because spirituality is there's good and there's bad. There's right and there's wrong. There's up and there's down. Most people only want to be right. They only want to be positive. Well, you can't have that. That's not reality. And the average person, the reason they're poor is they haven't failed. You know, they play it so safe. They haven't made any mistakes like they're taught in school. That means they don't learn anything. That's why the school system's actually fundamentally corrupt. It's anti-education. But the average guy is dead end there. Oh, I'm an A student. I'm going to do this all on myself. And a bunch of rugby players run you over. And you go, well, they're not playing fair. And what, you're playing stupid. You should have a team. You should have accountants, attorneys, and bankers and all that stuff. But that's not a game I want to play. I said, then don't play the game. You know, the game of business is played with accountants, attorneys, bankers, hate to say it, politicians. You know, you got to know the game. You know, people say, well, money is not that important to me. Then if money is not that important to you, money is not important to you. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't care about money. The money doesn't care about you. You know, the word does become flesh. Or I'll never be rich. Or the favorite one is the rich are greedy. It's the poor that are greedy. You know, if you think about it, because to be rich, you have to give something. You know, you have to. I have to produce books and games, and I purchase real estate, I provide housing, provide jobs and all that. That's why I'm rich. But greedy people produce nothing. You know, Einstein said, you know, imagination is more important than knowledge, but knowledge empowers imagination. And what most people lack is real business knowledge, like accounting, you know, like debt, like taxes. You got to know that stuff, but they don't teach it in school to anybody. You see, most teachers in school, they're out of ethics. They teach subjects they themselves don't practice. Because I understood what a fake teacher is. A fake teacher is somebody who just wants a job and they'll teach anything. You know, they teach how to shine shoes and get paid them more money. But they really don't know what they're teaching. In life, one of the things I suggest to people, you got to find a real teacher versus a fake teacher. And a fake teacher is somebody who doesn't do what they teach. And a real teacher is doing what they teach every day. Our school systems are making our students weaker. So in school, they have these things called now trigger effects. So you can't, as a teacher, you can't say anything that might upset the student. They don't want anything that might jar their point of view. You see, people say, well, why don't you give the poor money? The only problem with that is it just creates more poor people.
Give a man a fish, he fishes for the day, or eats for the day.
Yeah, you give a man a fish, you get a lot of people who want more fish, you know? But you teach them to fish. We become creatures of our own habits. And until we break the habit, we don't change. Our schools don't teach that. Our schools teach almost the exact opposite of that. And the average person, the reason they're poor is they haven't failed. You know, they play it so safe. They haven't made any mistakes like they taught in school. That means they don't learn anything. That's why the school system's actually fundamentally corrupt. It's anti-education. So what I say to young people is you find your game. So my game financially is business, number one. Second is real estate. And that's why I pay no taxes. That's why Trump pays no taxes. Legally, it is a combination of business and real estate that gives us an unfair advantage over employees because they don't know what to do. And a lot of people would rather sit in the stands than be in the game. One of the greatest ways to acquire great wealth is playing Monopoly in real life. Four greenhouses, one red hotel. But is that all there is? That's it.
Robert, if I could give you some kind of a magic phone and you could make a call to the 20-year-old Robert Kiyosaki and give that young man a bit of advice, what would you tell him?
I would just say keep going. Just do what you have to do. Just, you know, live it to the fullest, though, which I did. Nothing I ever did made sense. Now, could you imagine quitting a $120,000 a year job for $200 a month to go fight in Vietnam and almost die? It didn't make sense, but it was the best decision I made at that time. And I think what most people do is they let their parents or their friends talk them out of life. So afraid of failing. But failing is how we succeed. You look at guys like Edison and all that. They failed like 1,014 times before he invented the light bulb. You know, our schools punish you for making mistakes. That's why we have so many people who are so afraid of admitting they make mistakes or afraid of failing.
Guys, you tuning on Freedom Fridays with your boy King L Jr. After being a little late, plus had to use bathroom, so I had to play some long clips. But anyways, we're gonna talk about is a little bit of the FCRA. We're gonna break some stuff down. It's basically a Fair Credit Reporting Act. So we're going to go a little bit over the Fair Reporting Act. It's 609, but before we do that, I got to go in a little bit give you some power, some energy, because I know, sometimes, be like that. We all need a little energy, to let us know we're not crazy, that we're not, you know, thinking the same things, thinking that, you know, right now you're rich, you know. You are, you know, no matter what position you are, you're rich. Just basically on you to accept the riches that are yours, you know what I'm saying, that are rightfully yours. You know, everyone can, not utilize them because everyone has the same 24 hours, so there's no difference between the rich and the poor man except time and, you know, his thoughts in that 24 hours, his actions, his words, how he feels about himself. Those are the only differences between the two. Yeah, there's money, but as you're feeling and walking and making decisions based off of, you know, you're going to grow more money. You know, of course, you're going to make mistakes. You know, that's generally what comes with the game. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get those no's. You know, but you got to be tougher than that and keep it rolling and know no matter what, you're going to hit your goal. You have to have faith in yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's no God on the outside that's going to help you. This is the truth. It's only the God in you. You know what I'm saying? That's why they say God is with you at all times. You must believe in that God. You know what I'm saying? You must believe that no matter what, he's able to make whatever you need to happen in that 24 hours. It can happen. You know what I'm saying? Of course, try to stay in the realms of not violating people or anything. Because, of course, the law of compensation, you know, you have to go with universal laws because there's laws in place with everything, no matter what you want to say. But anyways, you know, law of compensation, that just plays a big part in time. You know what I'm saying? You know, as time goes on, you know, person who, you know, only sticks to, you know, keeping it fair with everybody, you know, of course, his reputation is going to be better. Somebody that gets over on somebody, of course, you know what I'm saying? You always have people to call on because your reputation is good, your word is good, you know. And that's one of the biggest things about keeping your word good because, you know, why wouldn't you? You know, why wouldn't you want to be able to fully utilize every contact that you have? Those contacts are great because, well, each contact that you have can potentially make you $1 million, you know what I'm saying? Or, yeah, make you $1 million or help you make $1 million, you know? Everyone you meet, every contact, any person you come in contact with can help you. You know, it kind of guides you in a way. You know, and that's the greatest part of life, learning from everything, you know what I'm saying? Every experience of now, even what's going on right now, you know, to appreciate. You know, just great. But enough about life and how great it is. I mean, you can hear it in my voice, right? Now I talk about it and explain it and kind of how I see it. You know, people see it all different ways, but as long as you see yourself in a positive way, you know, that's a good thing. You know, feel happy about yourself. You made it a long way. You know, hell, you made it this far, no matter what age you're at. You know, think about that. And everything that you made it through. And even if you're going through something, you're going to make it through that. There's not one time that you can make it through it. You know, that's the biggest thing. But, anyways, let's go ahead and break this down for you guys. All right. Please be advised. This is my second written request. Unverified items listed below remain on my credit report in violation of federal law. You are required under the FCRA to have a copy of the original creditor's documentation on file to verify that this information is mine and is correct. The results of your first investigation, you stated in writing that you verified these items are being reported correctly? Who verified these accounts? You have not provided me a copy of any original documentation required under Section 609A1A. Information on file, sources, report, receipts, every consumer reporting agency shall, upon request and subject to 610A1, clearly and accurately disclose to the consumer, one, all information in the consumer's file at the time of the request, except that A, the consumer to whom the file relates, request that the first 5 digits of the social security number or similar identification number of the consumer not be included in the disclosed in 609-15 U.S.C. 1681 G 37, the consumer reporting agency has received appropriate proof of the identity of the requester. The consumer reporting agency shall so truncate such number in such disclosure in 611A1. So basically what it means is they have to have the original documentation. And most times, you know, stuff on your credit, they don't do that. You know, they don't make copies of your driver's license, unless it's a car. But even then, you still get around that. But that's a little different story, but it still works. Truncate. To shorten by. Oh, okay. Especially when they say truncate, basically I'll pertain to 5 digits. To shorten or as if by cutting off, to replace an edge or corner. Truncate. Having in squares or even so basically just cutting that off and showing the last four. But anyways, Section 611A1, a consumer contract with my signature on it, and under 611-5A1, reinvestigation required, A, in general subject to subsection F, if the completeness or accuracy of any item of information contained in the consumer's file at a consumer's reporting agency is disputed by the consumer and the consumer notifies the agency directly or indirectly through a reseller of such dispute, the agency shall, free of charge, conduct a reasonable reinvestigation and determine whether the disputed information is incorrect and record the current status of the disputed information or delete the item from the file in accordance with paragraph 5 before the end of the 30-day period beginning on the date on which the agency receives a notice of the dispute from the consumer or reseller of the FCRA. You are required to promptly delete all information which cannot be verified. The law is very clear as to the civil liability and the remedy available to me for negligent, you know what I'm trying to say. I just can't say it. Negligent. Okay, I got it right this time. Noncompliance. Section 617. If you fail to comply, I am litigious consumer and fully intend on pursuing litigation in this matter. Litigation in this matter to enforce my rights under the FCRA. Of course, that's where you put all your the stuff you want to take off your credit and boom. and it goes, take it all off. I have the manual on my website. And then also, let's go into something else. We're going to go into some things, some designs. Y'all want to talk about some injunctions? So, no, I know y'all want to. I know y'all want to hear some injunctions. All right. Let's look up. Let's see which injunction y'all want to get. I'll mess with y'all. Okay. All right. 1868 North Carolina Constitution, Article 1. Declaration of Rights, Section 30. The military should be kept under strict subordination to and governed by civil power. Notice of Special Restricted Appearance. And that's where you put your name. Nope, might as well be King Xavier L., beneficial owner, first lien holder of Barber, Akeem Xavier, DBA, Akeem Xavier Barber. All right, notice of estoppel on stipulation of constitutional challenge to all North Carolina state statutes where no bill of attainder ex post facto law impairing obligation of contract shall ever be enacted, and motion to intervene with an injunction for name Barber, King Xavier, DBA, King Xavier Barber. Take the other step pursuant to 1868 Constitution of North Carolina, Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 32. Retrospective laws punishing acts committed before the existence of such laws and by them only declared criminal are oppressive, unjust, and incompatible with liberty, and therefore no ex post facto law shall be enacted. No law taxing retrospectively sales, purchases, or other acts previously done shall be enacted. 1868 Constitution of North Carolina, Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 21. Every person restrained of his liberty is entitled to a remedy to inquire into the lawfulness thereof and to remove the restraint if unlawful. And that remedy shall not be denied or delayed. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended. 1868 Constitution of North Carolina, Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 19. No person shall be taken, imprisoned, or disseized of his free will. Now, notice it says deceased, like seized, something being seized, of his freehold, liberties, or privileges, or outlawed, or exiled, or in any manner deprived of his life, liberty, or property. But by the law of the land, no person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws, nor shall any person be subjugated to discrimination by the state because of race, color, religion, or national origin. To take further notice that I, King David L., owner of the 14th Amendment person, Barber, King Xavier, DBA, King Xavier Barber, did not consent for me or my private property to being a 14th Amendment citizen of the United U.S. or state of North Carolina or any other state in writing or any other consent, especially since this was done when I was a baby and contracts like the birth certificate was done and Social Security number was issued in the above mentioned names, which would have put me under legal disability to contract and not capable of such a contract. Take further notice that I, King Xavier L., reserve my rights to sue you and all your agencies and contractors for using my name or my property. Barber, King Xavier, DBA, King Xavier Barber, and Legis, that further noticed that the material fact giving rise, the material facts giving rise to the constitutional question are as follows. One, unalienable rights were violated, protected by 1868 North Carolina Constitution and Bill of Rights. Right to travel has been violated in the past. Two, unalienable rights were violated, protected by 1868 North Carolina Constitution, Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 20, general warrants whereby any officer or other person may be commanded to search suspected places without evidence of the act committed or to seize any person or persons not named whose offense is not particularly described and supported by evidence or dangerous to liberty and shall not be granted. Hear that? All right. Three, unalienable rights were violated, protected by the 1868 Constitution of North Carolina, Article 1, Declaration of Rights, Section 27. Excessive bail should not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel or unusual punishments inflicted. And take further notice that I demand for you to put the name Barber or King Xavier, DBA King Xavier Barber, and all property listed under name Barber King Xavier, DBA King Xavier Barber on the Do Not Stop, Do Not Detain list for North Carolina and all the other states. I reserve all my rights protected by above said North Carolina Constitution and don't waive any part of my rights. Abide by your oaths to it. I have a $9 billion lien on the names that are my property, and there will be a $9,000 in upcharge against you and your agencies or contractors, which this is your contract where you agree to pay Barber King Xavier. King Xavier L. in the name Barber King Xavier for the trespass of my unalienable rights protected by 1868 North Carolina Constitution. And this is a section where you put, you know, like houses, cars, different stuff like that. And then, so that was... one or two things for y'all. Ain't got too much today, but I gave y'all some good stuff. A little something about credit repair and then a little about the injunction. So, you know, appreciate that. Appreciate that free game, motherfuckers. Yeah, take that. Now I'm playing with y'all, but shit, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Be a pretty short show. Of course, you know we're gonna be back next week. As always, I was a little late. I'm sorry about that. All right. 302-514. Peace to God.
Peace, King. Peace, God. How you, bro?
Shoot, great, magnificent. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. I'm Jogger, brother. How you doing, man? How you been?
Shoot. Same old. Making it happen.
Oh, all right. Yeah, man. My folks, well, my neighbor up on this end, he said he ran down South Carolina this past weekend. I was jogging like mad because I was like, man, I wanted to try to ride with him or whatnot. And then I like try to touch base with you in a personal tip down there, but I didn't get to go. But I was like, I said if my move was to go down there, I was gonna try to link up with you if you weren't busy or whatnot, just to chop it up with you on a face to face tip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right.
Bring me up and come down.
Yeah, you locked in on some real shit. I don't even be locking people's phone numbers in my phone like that, for real, dog. So if I put people on the contact list, I'll be trying, like, they just, like, mean something to me, you dig? So, Yeah, I'm gonna definitely make my way down there, and I'll definitely reach out to you. Outside of that, man, you know, just like how you said, I'm so glad that he's over there, marvelous, and continuing prospering, and he's giving out the proper information and informing us and keeping us uplifted. You know what I'm saying? I called Pop Show yesterday. You know, it's rejoiceful how he got that series going on with the Reverend Ike. You know what I mean? Right. Just like how you was playing the clips about getting your mind right. You know what I'm saying? Like this again, everything does originate in your mind. You know what I'm saying? And I've noticed just even listening to just the series, just from I tuned in about the beginning of February. So. Since that, but even beforehand, but like for you, that to be an affirmation on what I was currently or how I was trying to live my life, you know what I'm saying? That just helps me kind of, how to control it better to favor me, you know what I'm saying? Like even beforehand, like I ain't really let too much to get to me, like, man, right now. On some real, real talk shit. I really don't give a mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, and on the sense of the fact that, you know, it is what it is, you know? If it's something I can control and do something about it, then great. If not, you know, hey. Well, on to the next one. You know what I'm saying? On to the next thing, you know? This whole mind control thing is beautiful, man. When you taking control of the steering wheel now, it's like, wow, man, this is amazing. Like when you controlling the car yourself.
Yep, you taking back control of your life, man. You know that we had to start seeing that we was willingly giving up. Nobody's a victim in this. We ask for everything they came to us.
No doubt. Yeah, exactly. I be telling yourself and Pops, you know what I mean? Like, I'm utterly accountable for my world events. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the star out of them all. Like no matter whatever event comes in, I'm the superstar, or I'm the star role, the lead role in it. You know what I mean? Regardless of whether folks are around or the events stay or change. You know what I'm saying? I'm the primary one in it. So with that being the case, you know, it's just now to. Implement it for me to, again, just do the best that I can with it. You know what I'm saying? Make it favorable for me the best way I see so fit. You know, of course, you know, the organic part of life is going to always be there. You know what I mean? I've accepted that type of stuff. You know what I mean? However, again, it's still kind of frustrating for these. Excuse my language, bitch-made people trying to determine your worth when they ain't got no say-so in it from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? They have a right to say whatever they want to say, but they can't control nothing over here for real.
their own insecurities, something they see in themselves. You know, that's usually what it is, man. We're talking about somebody else, talking about something, you know, we're seeing ourselves.
No doubt, man. Hey, can I ask you a question, though, in regards to what's going on in my world real quick?
Mm-hmm. What's up, boy?
All right, well, I got this, I got my little situation going on with the court system and whatnot. I ain't gonna fake, I still ain't put them answers in yet, like the rest of my answers in. I said I was going to do that. I'm going to do that this week coming up. But I'm saying that to say that there's an attorney attached to this to the matter I'm dealing with. Now, bear in mind, this attorney was attached based on the inclusion of the opposition. So they basically forcing counsel on me and shit like that. Well, of course, you know, I'm not accepting it. Realistically speaking, while he with me for real, I'm utilizing him to gain like information as far as like evidences and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? As far as discovery and what they talking about. But even though I know that even whatever he obtains is still not what I'm seeking. You feel me? So it's not about the discovery in of itself. It's just like the rules of state. Stated to us that we afforded the properness of things. You know what I'm saying? This stuff hasn't been done properly, regardless of what you obtain. You dig what I'm saying?
That's why go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm gonna listen to what you're
gonna finish.
Say.
You ain't finished what you
said. Nah, I did, but I ain't done, but I can resume where I'm at though. Go ahead.
Now, basically, what I was saying was you got to ask for the right discoveries. What you want to do is get to a point where they can't answer you. You feel what I'm saying? Where it's nothing they can say, you know what I'm saying, that just leaves it like, okay, you know, we got to throw this under the rug or, you know what I'm saying, dismiss it. Because, you know, if they can't come up with the evidence to incriminate you, how can they persecute you?
Right, exactly. But this the thing, the damn so-called attorney, you already know, their whole obligation is towards the court, so to continue the controversy rather than to resolve it, you understand? On the public.
Correct.
On the public.
He's going to make a deal.
Right. So, exactly. To me, outside of dismissal, anything outside of that is wrong. You understand where I'm coming from? I don't give a damn if he's talking about going to trial and whatever. That's what his thing is. He's trying to go to trial to prove that they're wrong. You understand? And that's, to me, you're not acknowledging the principle of things first and foremost. You understand? So, so what I'm trying to say is, again, I'm going to put my answers in and stuff like that regarding that. Frenzy versus Pagliari, of course, and all my evidences that I had put in the case. Because what happened with this case is it was initially a so-called district court matter. I put in the answers to it, and then these faggots to turn around and flip it to a circuit court matter. So they just created another case number so I can do more legwork for this one, which is the same thing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But this the thing with this on some real shit. When I had got locked up in regards to that joint or whatever, right? I got out in pretrial release. When you in, you just try to get the fuck out, you know what I mean? Like, you can't really be choosy. You can, I could have. I was really content with sitting in there, but I was like, man, fuck it. If they gonna let me out on the bomb, fuck it, it is what it is.
Nah, I know.
Yeah, so I said, alright, go ahead.
You need to put in that paperwork, man. That's your evidence. That's all the lawyers gonna do is put in paperwork. They ain't doing nothing but there to do paperwork.
But what? Right. Alright, well, let me ask you this, but dig it. So on the pre-trial, these bitch ass niggas done put a bench warrant out for me and stuff though. I'ma ask you this though, dog, on some real shit. Every time I get popped with these motherfuckers, man, it's always at court. I'm just thinking from the wise tip. Pre-trial put a bench warrant out for me because I'm not following the so-called stipulations of pre-trial by checking in and calling in and all that stuff.
When's your lawyer supposed to go there for you?
Say that again.
You had a lawyer, correct?
Nah, bro. No, nah. That's my whole thing. All this stuff has been done to me after the fact. So I don't know how this fucking damn lawyer got a hold of me or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And to be real, say for instance, anything that I did sign was under duress when I was locked up. And you can see the any, I'm gonna be real, all paperwork that I did sign or try to acknowledge, everything I signed, I put my name, I put the Inliga's name in the box, all caps, and signed and put under the rest right beside it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? At that point, you can't acknowledge, say for instance, even if they're acknowledging or willing to accept the thing, you're seeing that this has been done under detrimental circumstance. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not even acknowledging that point. So again, everything is forced on me. You dig what I'm saying? And I'm not.
But that's why you got to put in the paperwork. The paperwork is
right.
That makes them acknowledge, and that is the formal way of how you fight the case. The paperwork. So we always talk about paperwork because that is the formal way of talking to people. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about business, there's always a formal way of doing anything. You know what I'm saying? When you talk to a female.
Right.
The formal way to do it, you know what I'm saying? Talk to a person, formal way to do it. The way in court is the paperwork. That's the
mm-hmm.
formal way. And the correct way to get your point across is by the paperwork. Your paperwork is what's speaking for you. That's pretty much your answers to whatever they're saying. You have to answer whatever paperwork they shooting out to you. You have to act fast. You usually only have a couple of days to actually reply to those things. And that's why
mm-hmm.
we always say, go ahead and put in all your paperwork. So now they at a stop where, you know what I'm saying, they don't know what to do. They looking left and right trying to figure out, okay, what can we say? Okay, how can we, you know what I'm saying? Now it's going by weeks, months. They don't know what to say. So now they trying to, well, how can we just sweep this under the rug without this man coming back in, you know what I'm saying, and suing? You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. But I wanted to ask you, I just wanted your thoughts on this, bro, on some real shit, man. Just even say things that I put in paperwork just in past events. How about this? From the start of the whole ordeal, I've been putting in paperwork from the beginning, bro. You know, maybe, mm-hmm. how about this? Maybe the fact that I'm not doing it, let's say, the effective way or, let's say, procedural way, you know, I'll be the first to attest to that or whatever. If that's the case, because, but I'm saying that because
yeah,
you
got to follow your state procedures. You have to look up the procedures that you have to, you know what I'm saying, follow in court.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Got to. You know what I'm saying? Not saying you have to, but you got to know your way around the court. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's important before you go to court and look up, you know what I'm saying, certain things so you don't, you know what I'm saying, violate them, because at the end of the day, they're going to respect you as long as you're not violating or doing nothing that's not following procedure. You feel what I'm saying?
They're
going to respect the paperwork. You feel what I'm saying? They respect the paperwork, but if you're doing something, see, it's like this. It's touchy. But you just got to know your way around court. You feel what I'm saying? But you still here. Make mistakes, but you just got to learn from them. You feel what I'm saying? I done messed up in court.
No.
You got to stand on the paperwork. You feel what I'm saying? You got to know.
What?
You got to study what you're putting in. You feel what I'm saying? You're your own lawyer. There's no lawyer to go in there to talk for you. You feel what I'm saying?
Respect.
You're doing this case yourself. So you have to study. You feel what I'm saying? You have to know. You know what I'm saying? What's on the paperwork? You know what I'm saying? And pretty much what you need to say in court. And usually you just say stuff off your paperwork. You know?
Right, for
that's
sure.
What you
for
put
certain,
in there.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying? And
for
it's
certain.
Not incriminating
for
you.
Certain.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Then, all right. Well, I want to be real about this. What's your thoughts on me again, bro? They already got the bench warrant now. Bear in mind, like today, was it today? Nah, yesterday I sent my second notice for the injunction off to all the necessary authorities associated with that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing the steps to protect myself in that aspect. You understand?
Uh huh.
But
give me a second. 240-619.
Peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods. Now, go ahead. What was that?
My main question was, like, I was going to ask, because, you know, I've been working with Amjad for a second, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've been building. But, like, what would be your main objective of what you're trying to do with the court case? Are you trying to move it? Or are you trying to, like, close it out?
I would prefer closure, you understand? But being as though that that's not being reciprocated back, you understand? Like, I'm more often than not going to have to move it. But to me, it's, how about this? I'm concerned more about my actual presence being in the physical sense, you understand? Like, I'm not trying to be in no box or no shit like that outside of the box that I'm in now with the whole scenario being at hand. I'd rather be out here talking to you brothers like this than y'all talking about you want to take a collect call from myself at DOC and shit. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. It's like, because I know, again, every time I'm dealing with these motherfuckers, man, I'm getting locked up at court. Just from my experience, being as though I'm not on the run, I don't run from no motherfucker. You understand? However, I have no business in the so-called county that located in. You understand? And I'm not ducking. I'm not hiding. So if I got to get an FTA, I'm fine with that. While I can still drop this paperwork on them and stuff like that. Cause to me, it's not wise for me to go in there when I know I got a freaking a bounty on my head, like literally.
Yeah, but I mean, you gonna have to get that warrant off you. It's better than them catching you. You know what I'm saying? You got the warrant on you. Cause all they gonna, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the warrant is for. You feel what I'm saying? So I mean, most times what they do is they actually. Mm-hmm. They rescheduled, you know what I'm saying, the court date, you know.
Well, the warrant is for failure to comply to the stipulations of the pretrial release, basically checking in and shit like that. And again, these people wanted me to check in and come out of, like, bear in mind,
so
like, where I live.
What are they trying to do?
Basically, like I'm on probation, basically. Got to go in, check in, do all that stuff. But this is the thing, my current situation. I'm not, how about this? I have, even at the time where it was, I was literally taking care of my situation at hand. You understand? I would be neglecting my responsibilities and or that's real life situations for real. Also, the fact of the matter is I don't have a driver's license. I don't have a car. For me to travel 60 miles to another county is not affordable for my well-being.
Oh, then you need to change the venue.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to ask you. That's what I was going to ask you. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. You know what I'm saying? Like I couldn't verbalize it the right way. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to explain it to him because your father said it several times, and I heard you say it several times. I was like, yo. You can ask for a continuance, and you can ask for a change of venue. I couldn't get it out right.
But let me ask you this:
yeah,
if I do the continuance, this what I'm trying. Go ahead.
That's the only way you're gonna fix this. You gotta get the continuance, and you gotta, you know, what I'm saying, change the venue. It's improper venue. You don't stay there. It can't make you travel all the way up there.
Right. Right. All right. Again,
you need to go ahead and put that in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the biggest thing is you got to tell the court what your what's the word I want to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's not convenient for you. You got to let the court know that. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, they assume that, all right, well, you can make it here, but you got to write it and let them know that, yo, I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to need more time, or you're going to have to move it over here.
And I write that to the actual state court, excuse me, and or
you put that
and
on
or
the
district
record.
Court. Well, I got it on the record. Understood.
Actually, since you're going to use the Constitution as your defense, like Joey said and Jonas said, you know what I'm saying, Akeem said it too, since you're using the Constitution as your defense, you want to remove it from that state court for traffic or whatever it is, a minor joint, you want to remove it from there to a higher court where they actually hear constitutional issues. And you want to move to your constitutional court there, you.
Well, Mike, you know about it up here. I've been checking it out on the let's say I'm in Maryland, so the highest court in Maryland is the Maryland Supreme, the state of Maryland, not the U.S. courts or whatever, but just the state court would be the U.S. The Maryland Court of Appeals, Murray Allen Barbary, that's the chief judge and stuff like that, and they say that they hear constitutional matters. They hear cases regarding when you're questioning statutes and laws and shit like that. But again, that's the Supreme Court of the state.
Right. What you got to do is you got to remove it from that jurisdiction to a higher joint that's actually going to hear constitutional issues. You know what I'm saying? Like these traffic joints, these small joints, they're not going to hear constitution. So you got to remove it, and then you got to let the court know when you're removing it, you need to be removed. The court case needs to be removed to something that's closer to you that actually hears the Constitution. You know what I'm saying?
So based on that, this is my takeaway from that. It's going to have to be the state capitol court there. So again, court.
Just remove it to court that actually hears the Constitution. Charles County courts, they don't hear that unless you get up to like circuit court and then federal court. You know what I'm saying? Once you get to federal court, that comes out of Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you agree, Jude?
What's up, Keith?
Okay,
would you
agree? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Remove that guy to an Article 3 court?
Yeah, that'd be a smart thing for me to do.
Okay.
So you say Article
3. Because then, since like you said, using the Constitution, so they have to respect the Constitution, and it won't be no way for them to get around it. You feel what I'm saying?
Respect. This is another thing. I'm going to be real. I was on the show the other day on Jonas on the Consultation Wednesday. He basically told me to do that too. You know what I'm saying? But this is my thing in regards to that. He's saying that it's a fees and stuff like that associated. Man, my money, I'm on $0 on some real shit when it comes to something like that. I was trying to get your thoughts in regards to utilizing the Constitution to pay for the actual any type of fees and or assessments designed for this.
You have to look it up. I don't really know.
Okay.
I got you on that one.
He knows it. That goes hand in hand with like they got certain fees like when you're doing your name change and stuff and nationality. There's a piece where you can actually get those fees taken out.
I got that one for you, King Junior. I got that one for you. You know what I'm saying? Like we got a nice little group, you know what I'm saying, that we, you know what I'm saying, we study with and we do our thing, you know what I'm saying? We actually got the paperwork to get you in there, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Stay close with me, homie, you know what I'm saying? Hit me up. We got that, you know what I'm saying? We got them paperwork to get you in there. It's in the Constitution,
right, so
but you know what I'm saying? It's all about verbiage and how you actually present it. We got that.
Right. All right.
Yeah. I appreciate you for the plug, Akeem Jr. Appreciate you for the plug, man.
No, no problem. No problem, man.
Man, he's straight Kyrie the jump from the beginning anyway, you feel me? So keep it up, bro.
Hey, I'm always Kyrie around, baby. You know what I'm saying? We always around. We always around, man. You know what I'm saying? You got the platform, we all gonna get it.
No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt.
That's what it's about.
No doubt
man.
About it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, I love.
And here's the thing about it, man. You cannot be scared to go on court. If, no matter what, that's where the money at. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are scared to go to court, but that's where the most of the money is in the court.
I respect it. No doubt, but I'm on this. I'm being real, like my G's, man. Look, I'm gonna send my third and final. Well, again, I'm being real. That's the situation at hand. The next so called hearing is a Moses hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the shit.
Yeah, but that's why you have to put in that paperwork before that, so they can change all that.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And even putting paperwork, right, that's why you couldn't make it. You feel what I'm saying? You don't have, how you going to make it there? They're not providing a way for you to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. All right, bet.
You close the call.
I swear, this is
how it is. If y'all not going to find
you, right.
Y'all got to change that venue.
Bet. You're right. Bet. Bet.
Can I ask this question, Junior?
No.
Can I ask a question, like, you know what I'm saying? Just for anybody new listening, you know what I'm saying? I want your perspective on the joint, right? So when we change the venue or we do that status, right, can you explain the reason we doing that and like, make it into something that they can understand, like, while we actually taking it from Crawford Court to District Court, to Circuit Court, to U.S. District Court, U.S. Supreme Court. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you break that down for us?
What, the difference between them?
I would say, yeah, the difference between them, but the reason that we need to go higher than the original court that they give us. You know what I'm saying?
Like you were saying before.
Traffic court type thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they initially give us a traffic court that they don't want to hear constitution in that court. You know what I'm saying? Like the reason that, all right, well, this is why you put the constitution in, you know what I'm saying, which changes the rules, you know?
Mm-hmm. So basically, like you were saying before, certain courts, like you said, just not going to hear it. So to bypass all the struggle, you go straight to the source that can't bypass that, and that's what they deal with on the regular. You know what I'm saying? It's just like anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you want, you know what I'm saying, a new car, you're going to go to a car dealership where they got nothing but new cars, and you know what I'm saying? But if you want to go to a Lamborghini, you know what I'm saying, you're not going to just find a Lamborghini at any place. You got to go to a place that sells Lamborghinis.
Respect.
So,
All right. So this is my takeaway from that. Let me just drop my little plug and you continue. But this is my takeaway. This is the same way in regards to any type of answers to anything. You send it to the corresponding people that send it to you. And then you CC, let's say, the head director and or CEO associated with that department and or agency, i.e. CEO of the United States Corporation, if need be. You know what I mean? Is that a fair assessment?
I'm going to leave that one to you, homie.
Say that again. Say it again.
What you talk? I was saying, just like how you saying, just go to the top of the moot. When you go to the top of the moot, when you want to get certain answers or getting certain points across, well, in this regard, the constitutional across, That's the equivalency. That's the equivalency of receiving a correspondence from, like, let's just say you get a notice in the mail from, let's just say, Toys R Us. They're like, hey man, I don't owe that bill, but just send the bill to you. Just use a corresponding number, and then I'm gonna let your CEO review that to ensure that this was done properly. You understand what I'm talking about?
Something.
That's the same.
I get where you're going with it, but that's not exactly how it works. Basically, let me explain a little bit different. So basically, you wouldn't fight a trying to think of the best way to break this down easy and not make it difficult. I just had it too. give me a second. I'm thinking how we differentiate. So basically, this is how it works. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what court you're in, you can always put in constitution because, of course, each court has to respect, their state's constitution. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the things each judge makes an oath to. But if they don't deal with that on a normal basis, it's going to be like when they see your paperwork, it's something different. They don't know what to do with it. You feel what I'm saying? So sometimes they might be, you know what I'm saying, you could be giving them answers, but you might not just have the knowledge, you know what I'm saying, at the time to say the right things to stop them. So to avoid that, basically, you go straight to the constitutional people who deal with just constitutional stuff, which is the paperwork you're putting in. And boom, you don't have to worry about that because that's what they primary, that's their main focus. You feel what I'm saying? That's just
right,
like a dude who mainly just works out his arms. He's just going to go to the bench. But dude who likes to work out his legs all the time, he's going to go to squats. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get the same result, but in different places. Maybe that was a bad analogy. But basically, you go to the constitutional people, especially when you're a beginner. It makes it a lot more easier for you to fight your case. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? When you dealing with the regular courts, it's a lot more harder. You have to do a lot more studying. You feel what I'm saying? Not saying it's easier for dealing with the constitutional courts, but it's a lot more easier because you just dealing with the Constitution. You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right, well, say no more, man. I got that. So, you know,
do your changes and you go ahead and do that ASAP, man. We've been talking about this for the last, you know what I'm saying? You need
two
to go
weeks
ahead
at least.
And get on it. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's urgent, man. That's something urgent. That's your, you feel what I'm saying? Like you said, you don't want to go to jail. Well, how you fight that is put in the paperwork. Talk to these people. Let them know, hey, what the hell, you know what I'm saying? You got to let these motherfuckers know what's going on. Fight the case and you don't know what, you're not saying nothing to these people.
True. Well,
I say it,
and then I put a copy, I'm utilizing the resources I got, which is motherfucker shoestrings and bubble gum to make something happen on some real shit. So I'm utilizing what I got. You understand? And I put in
all
my replies.
All you gotta do is send it through the mail. Simple. you use correspond just like that, sending it through the mail.
Can I ask you this?
Say no more. My apologies, G's. You know, I'm being real. Like, I be overthinking shit at times, from time to time. Just like, I'm still a work in progress.
I can use a simple
certificate of service at the so-called U.S. Postal Service, right? The little white card.
That is a certificate of service.
The postal service in of itself, right?
Now you should send it to the service that you send it to the court and you send it to the other other party. That's your certificate.
You got to send it to all parties. You have to send it out to the clerk.
Yeah, I got to send it to everybody.
The solicitor, you feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Judge, mm-hmm. And if you're doing 5.1, you got to send it to the attorney general.
To the AG. Yep.
You have to do that. Certified mail. When you doing 5.1, give me.
Oh yeah, all right. I can do that one though. All right, bet.
Yeah, always send them certified mail. Send all your paperwork certified mail.
Son of a gun. All right. Respect, geez. Respect, man.
Because now you have evidence of, hey, I put this paperwork in the mail. I have the receipt right here, also with the paperwork and the same date. So, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get copies when you go to court. Get copies of your paperwork. Or the stamp paperwork that they received. Because you can always go in on the on your state's page and check your status and see if they got your stuff. And they usually do. They get it in 2-3 days. It'll never take that long. And whenever you
see
something taking longer than 2-3 days, unless it's weather, especially, but wait, you in the same state, so you ain't even going to take that long. anything longer than that, just know you got them.
I got them on the ropes. Shaking.
Yeah. When they can't respond, you got them. When the person get quiet, what do they mean? You usually got them.
you got a point there. Yep. You got a point there. Yep. Oh, man. Look, I ain't going to lie, man. I appreciate it again. I mean, trust me, dog. I don't like to have no worries on my head, but that's on some real shit. Literally, that's the only thing I was been worried about, man. Not even worried about.
Yeah, man, we told you what to do. Man, this is what you need to do. You need to have that ready to go.
Wait, ASAP
Monday. You need to have that going out tomorrow.
All right, bet. Say no more.
For real. All
right, I'm going. The jacked up party. I got everything.
I got him, Junior. Don't worry about that. I got him. This is my folks right here. I got him. You know what I'm saying? I got him. Don't worry about that.
Man, you gotta get it right, man. You need to get on it.
Man, I'm about to do that.
Don't worry about that. I got him. Oh, you gonna come back with his testimony. I got him. That's what I like to hear.
Testimony.
I got him.
And that's crazy. What's so crazy about that is that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we was talking about this. Changing the venue.
Yeah, right? Man. Hey, dog. Look, I don't give a fuck because I love myself. I love myself, to be real, right? I'm going to be real with you. And I felt some type of way when this happened, right? So I did my thing in the pretrial on the bond hearing, right? So, you know, you got to talk in front of the judge in your jumpsuit and all that shit when I was locked up. Man, when I was in there, I had the Constitution. I went to the law library. I said, man, let me get a copy of the Constitution. So when my pretrial junk came, I was just running off of that, just utilizing that. So the man ended up saying, you know, they gave me a bond. I had no bond. All right. I had a no bond, so he ended up giving me a bond there. So you know what? After I got done, one of the lawyers in there, he's like, man, you did an excellent job up there. He said, one thing I got to tell you is you need to get this motherfucking case removed out of that county. This was a lawyer told me, bro.
Yeah, he should have been. If he telling you that, he done gave you the keys already. Change the venue.
Mm-hmm. I eat that, y'all. You know, y'all can go to the body open real quick. Uh-huh. I can take these jokes. You feel me?
Hey, King. You hear me? Don't worry. I got him. You dig?
I know.
I got him. I got him. You know what I'm saying? I got him. Don't worry about it. I got him.
Yeah, get him ready for war, man.
Look, he's gonna fight back on next Friday with testimony.
That's where the war at. That in the courts, man. For real, y'all don't think it's game.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why people think the games. You know what I'm saying? Like, why they think the courts is fucking games and shit? Yeah. I got him. You know what I'm saying? The courts is ours. You know what I'm saying?
Us, man. And that's what a lot of people fail to start realizing, you know what I'm saying? We trying to figure out why, but we not doing nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? We not studying up on what we need to study up on. We worried about all this other stuff. And at the end of the day, we still slaves to the court.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got him. I got him. I'm telling you. You're going to have a damn testimony next week.
I'm just saying we got to get out of that mindset of being scared to go on the court. Because if with the right knowledge, man, you can run the court. The court yours. You feel what I'm saying?
No, court is yours.
We got plenty of testimony, man. You know what I'm saying? If, telling you, I'm a testimony. You feel what I'm saying? It's
no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? I messed up my first case. I definitely did, you know. And that's just what comes with inexperience. Anybody, you know what I'm saying? We all, you know what I'm saying, mess up, you know. Some people get it right the first time. And that's even better. You know what I'm saying? Because they studied and they looked up the stuff and they, you know, I guess their spirit was with them that day and they memorized everything. That was on their paperwork.
Yeah.
Man,
no doubt. Like I said, man, again, I appreciate that. I appreciate this insight from, again, godly minds right now. You know what I'm saying? Again, I'm being like in the jacked up party is just like how the series been over time, man, and just over the last few weeks at least. Man, it's all in your mind, man. Man, I ain't gonna lie, my mind got me to this point right here.
Yeah, you beat yourself.
Yep. And I always say this to myself too, in the same regard. It's like, man, if I really was bad off, I wouldn't even be talking to you guys for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? I say that shit.
For real.
That's wild.
You're in a great position, man. Trust me.
Wait. Most definitely. Yeah, I keep
Mike
dropping
get
these
you right,
bombs
man.
And nuggets. Oh, I already know it.
Just do what he say, man. Gonna get you right, man. He's gonna point you in the right direction. Study, man.
You already
That's
know
the
it.
Biggest thing.
Blessings. For sure, man. Look, I be over here putting in work. Now, don't get it twisted. Like I said,
no,
most definitely.
Just
but
don't
you
be
know,
scared. It's the same thing like fighting somebody. You know what I'm saying? You back against the wall. What you gonna do?
No bullshit.
You know what I'm saying? You gonna fight your way out. You ain't gonna just stand there and just beat your ass. You gonna fight.
Nah.
At least I know I am. Yeah. I'm gonna go out with a bang. Ain't shit.
Yeah, no doubt. You right. No doubt. Yep.
Me and right. Against the wall. Oh, all right. Shit, y'all done fucked up. Y'all ain't here with me.
Mm-hmm. It's called relentlessness. Until, like you said, until the motherfucking eyes closed for real, if necessary, it's going down. Yeah, no doubt. Man.
Like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, dog. I'm definitely gonna keep this positive mind. Definitely link up with Mike.
We're gonna link up, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna actually yield the floor, so you know what I'm saying? Me and you can yield the floor, we can build on a private joint, you know what I'm saying? We link Junior up, you know what I'm saying, we need to, but you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna hear what everybody else got to talk about.
All right, that's what's up, me too, man. JR, yeah, you know I love you, boy. You know I love you, man.
You know that? Peace to the God, baby. Peace to the God.
Peace to God.
Peace, God.
All right. So we have went over a lot today. Boy. Good little bit talking about traffic tickets. It's now changed venues and why it's important. This makes it a lot more easier for newcomers to, fight their cases when you switch them to a court that handles constitutional issues. Someone that's ignorant to the information or does not deal with it, of course, is always going to make it harder for you. You know what I'm saying? Just like an ignorant person not knowing the truth. They're always going to pretty much deny it or find a way to make an excuse of the truth. If you're not clever enough or on your feet right there, they're not studying. You know, of course, it'll make it hard. Not saying don't study, but definitely study, but it makes it easier when it's in the proper venue. So, yeah, pretty good show today. Pretty great, I'll definitely say that. But since those are the last two calls, like I said, I'll be off early. I was going to stay to we got one announcement to actually end the night. Trying to find it. Nowhere to look. So we have a seminar in North Carolina at the Courtyard by Marriott Charlotte, North Lake, 9110 Harris Corners Parkway, Charlotte, North Carolina. Go to keymail.com at events. Donation is $300 online, $325 at the door, and cash only when you get to the door. So definitely book that. We'll be going over the national passport process, driver's license process, biological data correction process, discharge student loans, and enforce the Constitution, of course. Of course, that's with me and my dad. Both be there from 10 a.m. to 4:30. So, yeah. We out. See you guys next week. Peace to God.